Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. And right now we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord for his blessings on this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, Lord God, we thank and praise you for your word, because it's the daily application of your word that regenerates us, just keeps regenerating us. It's the daily application of your word that causes us to be daily transformed a little bit more, more and more transformed into your image and likeness. Lord God, open hearts and souls to receive your word for this very purpose, that they may be transformed, that on the last day they will be acceptable into the kingdom of heaven because of their transformation. Lord God, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead, King James.
For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention.
Okay, now, when I'm reading this the second chapter here in 1 Thessalonians, I'm doing some expounding on it. And so I've written some commentary here and expound even upon that. So go ahead and read from mine here down to that point.
You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit with you was not a failure.
It was not in vain, okay? That just means it wasn't a failure, right? Something happened, good, right?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we visited you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, even though we were surrounded by many who opposed us.
Right. A lot of, if people are really preaching the true gospel, not this watered-down version that you hear on television, radio, and churches all over the country, where it sounds good, some of it, but then they tell you that we have to unite as one church with the Muslims and with the Baptists that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and with their once-saved, always-saved doctrines and all the heresy. But when you really preach the gospel boldly, you're going to get mistreated very bad, because all the churches hate you for exposing them. All the major, what should I call, cults. But the Jewish religion will get you because you're preaching Jesus. And you're preaching that you don't have to be circumcised anymore, because the circumcision is in the heart. And you don't have to do any of the things that they're telling you that you have to do, with the exception of keeping the moral law, which they don't keep. But you must keep the moral law. And the Ten Commandments, plus another law, which is even more, that makes it possible for you to be able to keep the moral law and the Ten Commandments. And that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where you're walking in the Spirit. And that way you're able to read the Lord every second of the day. You can hear him, and he leads, guides, and directs you by the Spirit. And this is the thing that these religions don't have. They don't have Jesus living inside. And he tells people to come out from among them. And you hear these religions saying, pray for that, we gotta pray that all of our leaders. Well, again, I'm gonna tell you that my leader is not a secular person. If you're of the Lord is my God. Amen?
Amen?
And my leader. And only him, and him only will I follow. Jesus said it. Him and him only will I serve. Amen?
Amen.
And so I can't serve a man that is totally the opposite of the Lord. I can't do that. If he's telling me that we got to go over and kill people for some trumped up reason that he made up in his mind, or that the Pope made up because they want to control the world, then, you know, I will not do that. Because the Lord tells us that the weapons of Christians the weapons of their warfare are not carnal, like guns, bombs, bullets. They're not carnal, but they're spiritual, and to the pulling down of strongholds. And so, well, we have to fight wars. No, what you have to do is stop starting the wars. The powers that be in this world, the secular powers, which we have nothing to do with, we're not even supposed to take anyone to one of their courts, because God considers you to be a thrill seeker if you do that. You know that there's not going to be any justice there. And so you have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. The Lord says you can only serve one master. You can't serve two or more. All right?
Amen.
Doesn't the Lord say that?
Yes.
So when you're really preaching the gospel, you're going to get some persecution. He says, you know how shamefully we were treated because we were bringing the real word to you. And telling you, don't listen to these evil Gentiles and don't listen to the evil Jews with their heresy, with their paganism, and with something that doesn't apply anymore. Because walking in the Spirit is the Rolls Royce of Christianity. That's a bad term, because a Rolls Royce is a piece of garbage. I know. I was married to the Princess of Sweden, and she owned a Rolls, and that thing was always in the shop. Okay? When you're in the Lord, you're not in the you're in the real shop. You know, you're always being repaired daily. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now then what? Go ahead.
King James, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile.
Okay, now go ahead and read it from mine.
You can see that we were not preaching that you have to be pure with any deceit or impure purposes or trickery.
No, when we were telling that you must be pure, you must be. We're not telling you to be pure and then we're not pure, okay? We're not deceiving you, okay? If we tell you you can't commit adultery, you can't, all right? We're not being deceitful. If we tell you you're not to lust after something that doesn't belong to you, that's idolatry. And it's greediness. And it's the same as saying that the Lord isn't capable of giving you the things that you need. So you want somebody else's things. And that's a sin. Because you're just denying the Lord by thinking that and saying it. Lord, I see that guy's got a nice house over there, and a car, and a nice all these other things. And I don't. And I want to get his stuff. Like you're saying to the Lord, you can't give me that. No, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Serve God, and all things will be added unto you. All right? Okay, then what?
For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news, the gospel.
Read again.
For we speak as messengers.
Yeah, we're actually messengers from God. We're not telling you that you have to be pure if you don't have to. When we're telling you that you got to be pure and no impurities in you, not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blot, you have to be dressed in white. Now, black may be beautiful, but you got to be dressed in white. You have to be clean and pure. And we're not being deceitful about it. And I'm not trying to smooch up to the blacks by saying white. The Lord says white, and blacks better receive that. Same with the yellow folks and the red folks and us green folks. Okay? We're olive skin from, the Middle East. And you brown folks, you gotta be white. I saw people in the kingdom of heaven. I saw myself and I saw Susie there, and our skin was not white. White is like that paper there. Nobody that I've ever seen in my life except Michael Jackson is white. All right? But there we're all golden color. Golden color. So it's kind of in between beige and, high yellow. You see what I'm saying? Okay, that's the way I think we all look that way, because Sue and I did. We had like this gold color. And it was like it's just unbelievably beautiful color. All right, and then what else?
For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God.
Yeah, we're approved by God. Don't you be questioning us. Amen?
Amen.
Because what we're preaching is scriptural. Hallelujah. Then what?
To be entrusted with the good news.
Yeah, we're entrusted with the gospel. God trusted us enough to preach it, and we're going to let God's trust not be unrewarded. If God trusts this man, I want him to continuously trust me. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? You're going to hear the truth. And then what?
To be entrusted with the good news, the gospel. Our purpose is to please God, not people.
Right. Now, you know, the people of the NAACP, they want to please blacks. I don't want to just please whites or greens or reds or yellows or blacks. I want to please God. And by doing that, I'm preaching the gospel to every color. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're all the same color there. And the Bible says that we're all the same blood here. Okay? There's not two different kinds of blood. You know, these black guys, you know, I see them say, hey, blood. Like they got a special kind of blood. It's the same blood. Amen?
Amen.
Some of these redneck southerners, they don't want to be any part of their blood. But I'm sorry, rednecks, you got the same blood in you as the black person. Amen?
Amen.
And the Mexican and the Puerto Rican and the Norwegian and the Swede and everybody else. All right? Same blood, the Lord says. Then what?
He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts.
Yeah, he knows what you're planning. When people are planning something, that means they're not following God's plan. When you're planning something, it's according to your will. But if you're just following the scriptures, then you're following God's will. And then you'll be blessed. And only then. Then what?
Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you very well know. And God is our witness that we were not preaching just to be your friends so you would give us money.
Okay, now, stop there. And you hear a lot of people, that's all they're after is money. Amen? Okay, so, read from King James now. We didn't want to flatter you just so you give us some money. You know, people come up. I have a little girl came in here and says, you're so handsome. Can I have some candy? We know why she's saying you're so handsome, right? So watch out when people flatter you, right? They might want some candy. Okay, what else? So you better be prepared to say, wait a minute, I just ran out of candy. Then they'll just go, oh, and walk away from you, see? Then what?
But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts.
That examines our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And lets you go through some trials to see if you're going to make it. If you're going to go through hell and high water to get into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That means you got to have on gospel boots, hat, you know, breastplate, shield, sword, cloak, girdle, everything, or belt. Amen?
Amen.
Everything you got to have. And above all, the shield of faith. You know what faith is? Is knowing the word. That's what faith is. Faith is simply knowing the word. Knowing Christ. Because the Bible says faith comes by knowing the word. Amen?
Yeah.
So knowing the word is faith. Knowing the word is to know Christ. And if you know him, you're going to keep his commandments, because you're going to know that if you don't keep his word, there's going to be wrath. The Lamb of God, sweet Jesus, is going to come back to take vengeance on this world. He's not the kind of Jesus, you know, to be laying in a manger anymore. You know, how would you like to be portrayed as somebody laying in your crib still? Would you like that?
No.
Well, the Lord doesn't like that either, okay? He came into the world as a man. That's the main point. But then he grew up, amen?
Amen.
And then he saved the world to those that want to be saved. Those that don't want to be saved, well, he cares nothing about you. He cared enough to die for you, and if you don't care about that, he doesn't care about you. To the point to where he's going to let you roast, barbecue, whatever, eternally. It'll be in misery and pain. Everlasting destruction. And what?
For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness.
See, covetousness would, we want you to money. Amen? We didn't flatter you because we wanted your money. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ.
Yeah, because they came there and they worked with their hands. They actually labored day and night to make money to support themselves so that no one would charge them that we're here to be supported by you. So that no one could charge them of this, of something evil like that. They worked. Okay, read my explanation here.
As for praise, we have never asked for it from you or anyone else. We could have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ.
Right. Burdensome means we could have had you support us. And there's many things that we could have had you do. Being that we're the ambassadors of God, we could have you do a lot of different things. And God wouldn't hurt us for that or abuse us. We could have been burdensome to you, but we didn't. We want to be extra careful not to throw your souls. Okay, then what?
As the apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children.
Okay, good. Now go into the King James.
But we were gentle among you, even as the nurse cherisheth her children.
Well, a nursing mother, amen?
Amen.
So it's a mother. Because I looked it up in Greek, it says a mother, amen? Mm-hmm. You're learning the right thing here, all right? Then what?
So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
Okay, read up to that point here.
We loved you so much that we gave you not just God's good news, but our own lives as well.
We laid our lives on the line. You know that we were highly persecuted. We could have been killed easily. And so we gave our lives on the line for you. We weren't looking for a life of ease. We didn't care about our lives at all when it came to doing what the Lord says. If we die, we die. But we're going to do what the Lord says, no matter how much persecution that we fall under, whatsoever, because we care about your soul. Now, some of you, we realize, are traitors, and you're going to go and tell the people that are in secular government, which is completely different than the government of the Lord. There are two governments. One is of the devil, and the other one is of the Lord. And so you're going to go and run to tell them so that give power, give your strength unto the beast. You're going to run and tell them like an Antichrist does. And so we're given our lives. We know what's among us. We know that we're sitting and that Antichrist is sitting among us, as we'll hear later in the scriptures. And we know that Antichrist is going to be, the devil's spirit himself is going to be sitting down in the holy temple of God, which is you. Some of you are going to backslide, are going to, not just backslide, that's a loose term in the Baptist church, but you're going to be Antichrist. You're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to blaspheme, which is unforgivable in this world or in the world to come. You're going to hell. Some of you are going to hell. You're going to burn in the lake of fire. And I want you to know it now. And of course, people want to persecute us for telling them things like that. They want to hear smooth things. Amen?
Amen.
They want to be able to do anything they please, live a life of ease, and they just stay so free and happy. But again, I'm going to tell you that a life of the Lord is not a life of ease. The Bible says that we have to squeeze into the kingdom of heaven. It's a straight and narrow path, so straight and so narrow that you actually have to push into the mark, into the kingdom of heaven. It's not a life of ease at all. There's no ease with it at all. Now, the way to destruction, that's easy. You can just go to hell 150 probably zillion ways. Amen? Disregard God. But if you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, so if you're in a church where you just feel free and happy and at ease, you can go out and commit adultery and come in and light a candle or say a few Hail Marys, etc., well, that's a life of ease. So getting into the kingdom of heaven, it's not like the religions who say, you know, the Lord wants us to be comfortable and he wants us to have fun. No, it's deny your stinking self. Deny your stinking self. It's not a life of comfort. It says we were harangued, we were mistreated, we were persecuted. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted, not given a life of ease. They're trying to make it look as though if you don't have a life of ease. Now, the Lord does ease my soul. I could be going, I've been in prison for the gospel. I've been, people have thrown huge boulders on my head and on my body and stomped me with their boots. I've been spat upon and everything, but I had peace and joy and happiness because I know these things happen to people that are serving the Lord and that are right with the Lord. And so if you died and none of those things are happening to you, I'd be so afraid. I wouldn't even want to go to sleep at night if I was living a life of not like that. Or if I didn't know that there was deceitful people around me. I know they are deceitful people. I sense the devil. It's like I have these feelers. It's like the spirit of discernment. I can tell what people are. And I know that I'm living among some false brethren. And everybody, you know, if they were honest, they'd say the same thing. Because you can see them saying and doing things that are totally unscriptural. And they're living a life. They don't do anything for the Lord. They just want to be comfortable and have fun, fun, fun. And some people think if you're going through it, that there must be something wrong with you. Because Joyce Myers tells you that it's just fun and all this sort of thing. And then the next day you'll hear her say, well, you have to be, you know, with your nose to the grindstone, you got to carry the cross. She doesn't know what she believes. And I'm just telling the truth, okay? I've heard her say it many times. God wants you to have nice this and nice that and nice this. Well, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Amen?
Amen.
But yeah, I do have the Spirit of the Lord. I can cast devils out of you, and I can, you're lame from birth. I can make you raise up. Not me, but the Spirit of the Lord. And you can get up on your feet and walk. I'm not preaching doubt. I'm preaching faith. Now, if you want these things from the Lord to be heirs and joint heirs with him, you're going to not be living a life of ease, but you're going to be walking the straight and narrow. Okay? That, and you're going to have faith in that. If you don't have faith in that, then you're lost. Because there's not enough fear of the Lord on you to receive that. You just want to be comfortable and primp yourself and take care of, put cream on yourself and lay down on reclining couches, drinking wine and other delicacies from bowls, and maybe have an occasional affair. You swine. According to scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
You dirty dog. Okay? Then what? And Al Jolson said it, but, you know, the Lord says it too. Amen?
Yeah.
You dog, you. Okay, then what? And I say it too. Okay, then what?
For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For labor.
See, labor. Not ease and travail. Not comfortable. This is the gospel. Wake up, kiddies. Amen?
Amen.
Then go ahead.
For laboring night and day.
Night and day laboring? Well, wait a minute. We thought, you know, Joyce Meyer says he wants us to have fun and comfortable and have happiness. Happiness only is like when you're walking the straight and narrow and you know it by the Spirit telling you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God.
Because we didn't want to be charged by you. We worked with our hands to earn them our living. Because we didn't want you to say, look, they're over here getting money off of us. Okay, read it from my commentary.
Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you?
Yeah, we toiled with our hands. Paul was a tent maker. Amen?
Amen.
He made money making tents. That's what it says in the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
You have to do something. Because if you don't work in the Spirit, you don't eat. Amen?
Amen.
And part of working in the Spirit means you have to be a good testimony. You have to work with your hands. Right, what else?
Night and day we toil to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone with you as we preach God's good news among you.
And we earned our own money, okay? And one of the things I know about him, because I've read about him before, is a lot of people in Thessalonica, the religions, were saying that he was making money off of the Thessalonians. And so this is why he worked both day and night to make sure that no one could, to kill those false charges that people were saying about him. We've been so broke for so many years in the beginning of our ministry, and then people were accusing us of the same thing. And I had to keep saying, listen, not because I'm bragging about having a Beatles album, but I told them, I've got a Beatles album that I'm told is worth between about $100 million. It's a collector's item. I got it from Pete Best of the Beatles, who was the original Beatles drummer. And so that no one can accuse me of being in the ministry for money, all I'd have to do, I've never sold the album, I could just, if I was interested in money, I'd just quit and go and sell the Beatles album. You know that I could make at least, say, $25 million, okay, and that could last me for a lifetime, if that's what the kind of a guy I was. And then I have many other masters and all sorts of other things. But people were accusing Paul of ripping these pathetic people off, these Gentiles, for their money. And so that's why he went in there. He didn't just say it, but he worked day and night. And I did the same thing in business, and I put all the money. And I'm the one that created the idea of these jackets. The Lord gave me the idea, and the clothing stores, and I worked in the restaurant. I trained everybody how to do those things, and I did it myself. I was back there fry cooking and training them how to be a dinner cook and telling them how to make all the different things in that restaurant. I worked. I've worked constantly in this church, while you, a lot of you, didn't work. And some of you did. Okay? And then for 17 years, I washed the dishes at my house. I cooked for Sue and helped keep her alive for a lot of years. 17 years. And I cooked and washed dishes and dried them. And well, I didn't have a maid, and I wouldn't have hired it. A lot of the sisters wanted to come in and help. And I said, no way, because I was afraid some of them would leave a particle or too much soap on the dish. And she had terminal cancer, and I didn't trust them. I left one of the sisters in the room with her just for a while. I was there for days, and lifting her up and laying her back down, and lifting her up and laying her back down, because she says, pick me up, because she was getting too toxic. I said, now lay me down. And I just did that until I was worn out, and I said, just give me 5 minutes. And I left her in the room, I think it was with Vicky, and all of a sudden I heard a thud. She didn't even take care of her, and she stood up and fell and hurt herself real bad because Vicky didn't take care of her. Some people can't even stay on the job for 5 minutes. So don't tell me that I'm in this for money, because we've been through a lot of persecution. I'm not at all bitter about it. I thank and praise the Lord. We've had all the things that we worked for years taken away, and the good Lord has allowed me to rebuild it again with your help. Some of your help. Some of you didn't do anything. You just thought that this is just an easy street place to crash. Some of you have always sponged off the government, you bunch of gutter ghetto people from the gutter, and you think everybody owes you a living. And most people would call you gutter snipe. Worthless, shiftless, unworthy. And he tried to come into the church and use it. And that isn't what this church is for you to use. The Lord wants to use you, okay?
Amen.
He wants to live in you and use you. Now, that's the real gospel. It's not at all like Joyce Meyer's or that God loves you unconditionally. Everything with God is conditional. And if you don't meet the condition, you're not getting into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you've fooled the government, but you're really not fooling them, too. And if you can't fool them, they're pretty stupid. Then you're not going to fool the Lord either. You'll either get right with the Lord, or the Lord is liable to take your life. Now, knowing, now having faith is simply knowing the Lord. The Lord is the Word. I said this off tape, so I want to say it again, because that's good. If you have faith, that means you know the Lord. You know the Word. Knowing the Word is faith. Now, to know the Word and to not do what it says is doubt. You know what it says, but you won't do it because you doubt that you have to. When the Bible says you have to, or else. So Paul is making triple sure that he's going into the kingdom of heaven. So he, even though he could make demands on these people because he's the ambassador from God himself, God called him on the road to Damascus, called him right out of the blue. And he says, I can make all kinds of demands on you because the Lord would let me. But I don't want to be chargeable to any of you to be standing at the judgment of God in front of me and saying, you never worked, we did all the work. You had a life of ease. When in fact he had been through what people would call on this earth hell and high water, and he stood right to the end, even to the point of getting his head chopped off. Now you're inferior if you think any other way, and if you're going to live any other way. You have to get serious if you want your soul to seriously be in the kingdom of heaven and stay seriously out of the pit of hell. Okay, then what?
You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God.
Yeah, you're witnesses that you saw us working with our hands, day and night. Now, you didn't, but we did. And we brought the gospel, the good news to you, Gentiles. So I want to stop the mouth of these unsaved Thessalonians that say, I'm in this for the buck, for the money. And that's why he's saying here. Okay, then what?
You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were pure and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you also know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pled with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider to be worthy, for he called you into his kingdom to share his glory.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean anything to people. You never even see that get them. To share God's glory? In other words, be in the body of Christ, which is above all things, every name, and you're up there and it's glorious. And all the treasures of heaven and the whole universe belong to you jointly with him. And that doesn't mean enough for you to work. And to do what the Lord said? Well, it's no wonder the Lord lets him burn forever and suffer forever and suffocate forever. There's no air down there, and you try to breathe, but you can't. And the problem is it goes on for eternity, forever. The clock is thrown away there in heaven. Time is on this side of eternity. Eternity is forever. Okay, so read the King James up to that point then.
Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe.
Yeah, well, you can't blame us for ripping you off. Amen? Amen. Or preaching fallacy to you. Because we risked our lives. Then what else?
As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory.
to share his whole kingdom and glory. And he deserves it. And if you're there, you'll deserve it too. If you're not there, it's because you don't deserve it. Okay, then what?
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Only in you that believe. Now the works of God are shown in those of you that believe. If you don't believe, there's no work of God. You complain about doing the dishes, or picking your teeth, or even picking up a fork to eat with. You're so lazy. The Bible says. Or that you wouldn't do even open up the door of the church if you weren't paid for it. If there wasn't something in it for you. It's whatever you can grab on this side of eternity. There's no cross-carrying. There's no self-denial. It's just all you. And that's why people are going to burn. Then what?
For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, in Israel. Okay, then what?
For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews.
Right, because in Judea they suffered things from the Jews, and you people have suffered things from your own people in Thessalonica here. From the your own people, the Gentiles, right? Okay, now go ahead and read up to that point here.
And we will never stop thanking God that when we preached his message to you, you didn't think of the words we spoke as being just our words. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it was and is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. It works effectively.
Yeah, effectually or effectively in those of you that believe. If you believe, you're going to do the work of the Lord. If you don't believe, you're not doing the work of the Lord. That's how it's so easy to tell a person that is of the Lord and those that are of the devil. Because they refuse, for human beings' sakes, to win souls and gather souls so that Christ gets the right reward for his death. What do you mean the right reward? The Lord wants, the reward he wants for having died was a bride. Amen? And you're not helping him get this bride. You are supposed to be his reward. Because he died so that you'd be saved. Amen?
Amen?
So you're not giving him the reward for his death if you're not soul winning and keeping the commandments. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen.
That's well and good. If you're not suffering persecution, well, then you're not godly in Christ Jesus. You're not laying it on the line, telling it like it is. Then what? Or you're not living it. You look just like ordinary people. You're just living like ordinary people, so there's no witness, and so nobody's going to be angry at you. You let your children go to hell. You let anybody around you go to hell. You don't care. So there's no persecution. Well, you say you're afraid because you know that if you report a person or if you rebuke them or reprove them, that there's going to be a big war. Why don't I care about that? I know there's going to be a war, but I know who's going to win the war. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, how are you going to win the war? Are you going to knuckle bump somebody's head? No, you just put them out of the church. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In this way, you were persecuted in exactly in the way the believers in God's churches in Judea were, who because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people.
Yeah, that wasn't an imitation. If you're being smitten, it's a real thing. It's not an imitation of being smitten. Right?
Right.
If somebody's knuckle-bumping your head, it's not an imitation of getting knuckle-bumped, right?
Right.
It's the real thing. Okay, then what? Right? All right, then what?
For some of the Jews killed their own prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus.
So that's bad. That's a lot of persecution. Amen?
Amen.
That's as much as you can get, is to die for the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
What else? Then what else?
Now they have persecuted us and have driven us out. They displease God and oppose everybody by trying to stop us from preaching the good news to the Gentiles.
Yeah, they're opposing God. If anybody trying to stop the gospel from going out, and the devil tells you, no, we have to be wise as serpents, you've become so wise that you are the serpent if you're not getting the gospel out. You're just a phony, and you're just using that term that people came up with years ago. Well, we have to, which is in the Bible, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents is to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Not to put a muffler on you, or to muffle the Spirit. You're not to talk. Let the Spirit talk when He wants to. Don't use your carnal mind to figure out when it's right to talk or when it's not right to talk. When the Holy Spirit gives you the go-ahead, talk. And if you don't, then you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. Because you're doing the same thing these people. You're stopping the Holy Spirit from getting the gospel out. Hey.
They displease God and oppose everybody by trying to stop us from preaching the good news to the Gentiles for fear that some of them might be saved.
Right. Now, if there's the Spirit that's telling you, don't talk now. You're not being wise as a serpent, harmless. You've got to shut up. That's the devil, and you're following him. Preach the word fearlessly. Righty?
Yes.
To your children and to your neighbor. And everybody's your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
We're sharing the same earth. Okay? Don't preach to animals or to fish or insects, but to humans. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
By doing this, they continue stacking up their sins.
Yeah. They just keep piling their sins up to heaven for stopping you from preaching the gospel or trying to stop you to. Paul didn't say they stopped him. They said they're trying to stop. They keep trying to stop him. Okay? But he was unstoppable. If he went to prison, he still could preach the gospel there. Amen?
Amen.
Didn't slow him down. As a matter of fact, he started really cranking more out than he did before. More gospel. More good news. Then what?
But the anger of God has caught up with them at last.
Okay, go up to that point now. Read the line before that and then that.
Okay. They displease God and oppose everybody by trying to stop us from preaching the good news to the Gentiles for fear that some of them might be saved.
Right, so if the Holy Spirit is telling you to witness, and then the spirit of the devil comes, wait a minute, that's not being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. No. Wise as a serpent. Wise means fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Amen?
Amen.
Wise as a serpent is to blast the world with the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And then you'll be harmless as a dove because you're not hurting anybody by preaching the gospel to them, are you?
No.
You might get hurt yourself, but that's the name of the game. All right?
Yes.
You might go to prison. You might get, your head knuckle bumped. Or like a shiner. Not shriner, a shiner. All right, then what else?
By doing this, they continue stacking up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last.
Then what? Go into the King James.
For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men.
Yeah, they're contrary to all men is because they don't want them to be saved. So they're hurting everybody in the world. And you're hurting everybody in the world if you're not getting the gospel out. Because if one person that you witness to happens to be another Apostle Paul, and you never witnessed to him, then you stopped him from getting the gospel out all over the world. It could be somebody that's going to get a television program, and really preach it down the line, or put out hundreds of millions of leaflets. We're obligated to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen?
Amen.
And that doesn't mean wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, is to dummy up on everybody or anybody. All right, then what?
Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost.
The uttermost. That's the most. Anyone trying to stop the gospel or listening to the devil, don't witness. You're filling your sins up to the brim. Because the Lord called you to preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord says that my Father sent me into the world to preach the gospel, to win, and I send you to do the same thing. Now do it, or else. Well, is it that rough? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It is that rough. It's denying yourself and doing what the Lord says. Denying your will, because your will is to not preach the gospel. Your will is to have a life of ease. And you're going to get with it, or you're not going to be around long. You're not bearing any fruit. You're like a bunch of people, harvesters, going out to the orchard to pick fruit, and there's nothing on the trees. That's what you are. Now you better get something on your tree. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us.
Okay, now go into my exhortation.
Timothy reports, Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a short time, though our hearts never left you, and tried very hard with zeal, attempted to get back to you, because of our tremendous longing to be with you, to see you again. We wanted very much to get with you some more, and I, Paul, tried many times, over and over, but Satan prevented us by one interruption after another.
Yeah, the way that Satan interrupts, is like, I'm writing, Satan interrupted us. It's like when I want to bring a message, and then there's some demonic person in the church that interrupts my wanting to do a message or get my literature done. And it's hindering me from doing what I want to do. There'll be somebody bringing false accusation against somebody, and I have to take care of it. That's Satan hindering me from doing. That's Satan hindering him from going where he wanted to go. So people think, oh, it was the Spirit that just overpowered Paul. No, it wasn't. It was that he was hindered by a bunch of people. People calling themselves Christians that are liars, and like you see them doing all kinds of evil things in the church, and then you have to break away from serving the Lord to go and try to bring them up. It's Satan hindering us from doing a job for the Lord. Do you understand?
Yes.
And there's hundreds and thousands of different ways that the devil does that. Somebody, get it into their head that you don't like them, or you don't love them, or you care about somebody or you're favoring somebody in the church more than somebody else, or you're not doing the right thing, and then they cause you. It's the devil getting into them, hindering me from serving the Lord. And that was what he wanted to go with these people, because he really loved the way they were, and he knew that they needed more of this words that the Lord was going to give Paul, and the Spirit wanted him to do it, but Satan prevented him. All these weasels. The devil was interrupted his ability to go to these people. Okay, do you understand that scripture better now?
Yes.
Okay, then what? You see that, those of you that work in the office in the school, see that happen to me all the time, don't you?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's same thing. Same thing. Satan hasn't changed his way, and the Lord doesn't change his either. So read that sentence again. And I wrote it in there. It says, because of all the different distractions he'll come up with. Or that somebody will call that just wants to talk. hear that phone, there's another one.
We wanted very much to get with you some more, and I, Paul, tried many times over and over, but Satan prevented us by one interruption after another.
I added that, by one interruption after another, because I go through that for a lot of years now. I know what Satan does to interrupt or to try to get you, stop you from doing something for the Lord. Then what?
After all has been said and done, no matter the hindrances, we have everything there is to give us hope and joy, and we have a glorious reward and crown, and this is you.
Okay, now go to King James and finish off.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?
He's saying, you are. All you people that are one to the Lord, and all those of you that stand, and we stand shoulder to shoulder before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, I will say, you are my pride and joy. Amen?
Amen.
You're the reward. I mean, I'm going to feel so happy that I got you in there. That's what he's saying. Okay, go ahead.
For what is our hope or joy?
What is our hope? I hope to stand there shoulder to shoulder with you. And my joy is to present you to the Lord. Saved in heaven. Okay, that's what he's saying. Okay, keep going. Read it again.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?
And we are crown. That we rejoice about. Then what?
Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to be there with us when he comes. Amen?
Amen.
You're before him too, with us. That's what we're happy about. And our glory, and our crown, and our joy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read about what I said about that.
After all has been said and done, no matter the hindrances, we have everything there is to give us hope and joy, and we have a glorious reward and crown, and this is you.
Yeah, all that is you. Okay? The Lord did call me to get you, and I did. And I joy, and it's my crown, it's my happiness, and my joy. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for Amen. Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Then going back into the King James.
For ye are our glory and joy.
See? Amen? Then what?
Yes, you shall bring us much joy when we are standing together before our Lord Jesus when he comes back again. For you are our pride and joy.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 2 and of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we'll be doing chapter 3, Lord willing, tonight. God bless till then.